Actually, I should point out, anybody can talk to the dead. It's getting the dead to talk back. That's the hard part.
Yeah.
And so how is it that they appear to be able to get the dead to talk back? And the answer is, it's a very interesting psychological trick. It's a magic trick. It's called mentalism, in which you do a cold reading. That is, you literally read somebody cold. By starting very broad and general, and you say things like, they will be found, you know, something broad like that, and then you focus in more narrowly. I've done this a number of times on radio shows. I did it, last time I did it was for Bill Nye, the Science Guy, on his TV, his PBS television show,
yeah.
Which I spent a day doing readings for him in a studio in Seattle, and I was pretty good at it. I mean, the people were stunned. I had them crying and the whole thing, and I did this with no practice at all. And in fact, to make it harder on myself, I did an astrological reading, tarot card readings, palm readings, and psychic readings. And I don't know anything about any of these modalities. I just made stuff up and basically did the same reading, whether I was looking at a chart, a palm, a tarot cards. You know, I just made stuff up and essentially did the same kind of reading. Anybody can do this. This is all in my science fiction, my book Science Friction, which I describe the kinds of things you should say. And I got all these tips from professional mentalists and magicians who do this. And turns out it's just simple as can be, because people want it to be true. So you start off broad and general and generally kind of positive, and then you get more specific. And there's a number of these things that turn out to be true for most people. Like if a woman has short hair, you say, you know, I think I'm getting used to wear your hair longer. Or do you have an earring that's missing its match, and you've been hanging on to it to hope to find the missing one? Or to a guy, I'm getting something about her, or he's telling me something, if it's somebody passed over, that you have some tools in the garage that are broken, but you don't want to throw them away. You've been meaning to fix them.
And,
or,
and they may say, no, no, they're in the basement.
Yeah, well, and that's fine. You take credit for the hit,
right,
no matter what.
Right.
Or to a woman, you've got some photos. I've seen photographs in a shoebox you've been meaning to put into a photo album. Or I see a calendar on the wall in your house, but it's out of date.
And you've been almost everybody does that.
That's right. It turns out there's, dozens, 50, 60 of these things. I list them in my book that you can use, that people don't realize that these are true for most people. And when someone passes over, if it's a guy, if it's his dad who passed over, a grandfather, you say, the watch. He's telling me something about the watch. I don't know what this means. And these guys are stunned to hear this, because they had their dad's watch or their grandfather's watch. And this is true. When my father passed over, I have his watch. And if you don't know that everybody, all guys, keep their dad's watch, you think that the psychic has scored gold, that, you know, he must somehow be connected to the other side, when in fact that's not the case at all.
So let's assume that some, if not most, are making it up. Maybe they believe they're psychic and they're not. We'll give them a little credit for that. Aren't there, though, there's got to be some shamans out there from ancient lands that have had some incredible abilities to foresee the future and things like that. I mean, don't you think some of them exist somewhere? Maybe we can't explain why, but that they've got some kind of ability?
Well, remember what Yogi Berra said about predictions. They're hard to make, especially about the future. And, you know, we have to have a baseline from which we compare the person we're testing. And these things are very difficult, as you know. I mean, if somebody says, oh, I see dark clouds over the White House in 2006. Really? What does that mean, dark clouds over the White
House?
There's
always a dark cloud over a White House.
Or, you know, Paris Hilton will have relationship problems.
Yeah.
Oh, shocking.
Or get into a car accident.
Earthquakes in Southern California. No! And if nothing else, you make 300 or 400 predictions. And, you know, the law of large numbers says you will get some right. Just inevitably, this will happen.
And then you blow those out of proportion, maybe?
Of course.
The ones that are right?
You publish the correct ones on your webpage, and you just ignore the others. Of course, the skeptics keep track of all the misses. So in science, here's the point. You have to keep track of the hits and the misses and ask, are the number of hits you got statistically significant beyond chance from the total number of predictions that were made? And when these things are recorded correctly, no, the answer is no, that no one can predict the future in that sense. Of course, you know, weather predictions, stock predictions, you know, these are notoriously Well, beyond a few days.
Well, but you can use fact with those.
That's right. And they aren't very good with that. And psychics are even worse than that.
Now, in your particular case, because it's very tough for you to believe these things, was it because you were brought up in a pretty hard-nosed way, unlike maybe some people who might be a little more sensitive to the paranormal?
No, actually, I would have liked these things to be true. My upbringing was not particularly religious or anti-religious or pro-science or anti-science. It had nothing to do with it at all. I got into science because I was thrilled by the exploration of mysteries and that kind of thing. I actually thought there was something to psychics. In the 1970s, late 70s, I was in a graduate program in experimental psychology, and Uri Geller was all the rage.
Yeah.
Thelma Moss at UCLA doing studies on near-death experiences and out-of-body experiences. And I remember having arguments with my advisor, who was a strict Skinnerian and a materialist. He didn't believe any of this. And we used to argue about this, and I used to make the kind of comments you were making and that other people make, that, you know, there must be something to it. Don't you believe in anything? And so on and so forth. And then I remember seeing The Amazing Randy on The Tonight Show, in which he showed how he could do everything that Uri Geller was doing. And he made an interesting analogy with lab rats, and saying you can't let the rat run the experiment, which is what the psychics do. And I thought, oh, well, because that's what I was doing, running rats in experimental labs. So I got to thinking, yeah, that's right. Gosh, if, you know, these tricks, if this guy can do these tricks and you can't tell the difference between that and the actual so-called real thing, then, you know, maybe science is not so bulletproof here in testing these kinds of people. And that, of course, was Randy's point. You should have a magician present. But in the larger sense, then it started me down the road of being skeptical. Although I still thought there was something to it for a number of years, but the more I read about it, the more discouraged I became that there was a lot of hucksters and hoaxers, and the research was pretty sloppy, and there was a lot of wishful thinking. And I remember trying, when I was a bike racer in the 1980s, I remember trying a lot of sort of performance-enhancing sort of natural herbs and colonics and chiropractic and acupuncture. And I tried hundreds of different things. I was feeling as superstitious as the next guy. Athletes are notoriously superstitious. They'll try anything to improve performance. I always felt like, you know, sort of deep down, that I wasn't being skeptical enough. I wanted these things to be true. Just the more I got into it, the more skeptical I became. It just grew over time as I, you know, kind of looked into these things.